his regrets. He's doing very well, but unable to attend today. Under 1.1, changes, approval of agenda. We have no changes to the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? A motion to approve the agenda would be in order. Moved by Councilor Muse, seconded by Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. A motion to approve the minutes of September 19th, 2019 would be in order. Moved by Councilor Frelich, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion on the minutes? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the question? Councilor Johnson?
I wasn't here for that meeting.
Thank you very much. It is approved. Under 2.1, we have a presentation this morning by the Queens Community Aquatic Society, President Celeste Johnson. Would you like to come forward to the presentation? Yes, please.
That's how long it takes me to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, seriously.
There's a way that you can show this as a presentation. Doesn't look like mine. Anyway, I want to just show it as a presentation
for
you. Go down here.
Yeah, just give me that.
That one.
Just down here. What's that?
Slide check right. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council for allowing us to present this morning. So we're going to give a progress report on what's happened over the past little while. So the last time we presented or had a public meeting was in February, and that was at Queen's Place, and approximately 80 people attended that meeting, and everyone was very positive about it. There were lots of comments. We spent a couple of hours presenting a survey and hearing from people, and all but two people were very much in favor of moving forward with having a year-round indoor pool. So just a little bit of a summary. There were almost 1,000 people that participated in the survey, which is a really high percentage of our survey in for a public survey. And there was a wide range of age and education and income brackets. When we asked them, one of the first questions was, how important is a year-round pool? And more than two-thirds said, and you don't need to read each of these numbers, but only 30% thought it was not at all or somewhat important, and all the others thought it was either quite important, very important, or crucial. So there seems to be a sense of wanting a pool. So it was, in summary, it was a large representative sample. Over three quarters want to see a pool over a new any other indoor facility. So that was another question. Would you rather see a pool, or would you rather see something else, and what else would you rather see? And they wanted, over three quarters wanted to see a pool. However, they did not want to pay for it. When we asked how much would you pay to use the pool, they pretty much chose the lowest number that that we put in. So we've also had, we've added a membership, general membership. Before, recently, it was just members of the board that were members of the society, and so we've opened it up to general membership, and we've added a membership chair to the board, Nathan Smart. We've created a Facebook page, a website, email, et cetera, so that people can join and can see what's going on. And we currently have over 125 members, and that changes daily. I get notices from Facebook about how many people have joined, and Nathan keeps tabs of that, not myself. And we've had positive coverage in the media. We participated in Privateer Days, and here you see your recreation director about to get in the tank that has our sign in front of it, and everyone cheering after she's dunked, and Counselor Kelly participated in that as well. Then in April, requests for information were sent out to companies that might be interested in building a pool were we to go forward. So we wanted to see what was out there, what kinds of things people might be offering. There were 6 responses, and we heard presentations in the month of June from them. One of them had no experience building pools, so I'm not going to show a slide of that company. There was a wide range of what was offered. Some companies did design only, some companies did design build. Some talked about project management, others said that we'll do the design, you find somebody else to manage it. Some focus on materials, and some focus on the whole building. Some of them came very well prepared. They knew all about Queens County, they knew about the society, and others didn't seem to know. This was just one of several people they were presenting to. So these are an example of some of the ones that we saw. So Tate Engineering, that I believe is the one doing Hunt's pool. Architect 49, as you know, those are the ones who built Queens Place Amaro Center. Stantec, DRSA, Nationwide Aquatics. Those are the ones we heard from. So what we learned was that the information was vast and varied. And neither ourselves nor do we believe the region have the expertise to know how to choose this, how to move forward with this. We also learned that a client advocate should oversee the construction. And an example of that is that the hospital here came on budget because they had a very good client advocate project manager. Conversely, in Truro, they didn't have such a person, and they were $100 million over budget. So that's the difference in what that key person can do. There are funding possibilities for a pool. The federal government, besides their general social infrastructure program, they also are particularly targeting sports and rural areas. The provincial government has monies particularly on sports and youth and recreation and health. And the region of Queens, my understanding is that there will be retirement of the past debt. And of course, there's a private corporate sector and public campaign. Other work we've done, we know that East Hants received close to $7 million from the federal government for their pool, their facility, and that group was visited. We met with our MP, Bernadette Jordan, and we also drew up a list of potential programs based on the survey, and part of the questions of the survey of what would you use the pool for, and what kinds of things do you think would be important to have in a pool? And so based on that, a list of potential programs was drawn up. And we met with these pool consultants, Bill Burke and Kathy Oliver. Now this, Bill and Kathy have built and designed or overseen the building of over 30 pools across the country. They happen to have retired to Baker's Settlement. They're very knowledgeable about pools, especially with the pragmatics of how it might actually work. So not only have they designed them and built them, they've actually run them, and they know what things need to be where. So they said, for example, you could have a beautiful pool or a beautiful design, but on a day-to-day basis, there are problems operating it. So they bring a particular expertise to that. So at this point in time, we really can't go forward seeking funding without a detailed plan. We can't go to corporations or whatever and say, foundations, and say, we would like you to give money to a pool unless we have a design of and plan and details of what the pool is going to be like. The plan needs to include the project definition of what it is, the construction cost, and the operating cost. We guess, based on the presentations that we heard in June, that the construction would be between $8 and $10 million. However, we need an independent consultant to accurately estimate the operating cost, as well as zero in on the details of a construction cost. So just to keep in mind a couple of things that Queens County wants and needs: a indoor pool, year-round pool. That's for youth and development, it's for seniors and keeping them active and mobile, and it's for health. It's something that can be used in the winter and when there's sleet and you can't do anything outside. It's a wonderful thing to have in a community and is a big draw. Our society is committed to raising non-government funds. So we don't go to the government for funds. You go to the government for funds, but we go to corporations and foundations, and we are absolutely committed to doing that. There are federal funds available in the near future. There's something coming down the pike, probably in February, we think. We've heard rumors. Specifically for rural areas, for recreation, and for health. And an indoor pool in Queens County fits those criteria. So our ask today is money towards getting that detailed plan in place that we can then start asking for money and deciding and putting out calls for who would build. And of course, once there's a plan, then having public input to see if people are still on board. It's one thing to think about an idea, another thing to actually see something in place, a plan for something. So we're asking for $6,000 towards hiring expert consultants to develop a plan. The province, if asked by the region, will provide up to $18,000. We're proposing Bill Burke and Kathy Oliver because of their extensive expertise, their location, that they have a commitment to this area, and their fee, which is low, considering what you would pay if you were doing this in Halifax. The other thing I'd just like to mention is that they are retired, and it was a lot of pressure for us to get them to consider doing such a thing, because and this is good because they don't have any vested interest in getting something back from it, and they will tell us what we need to hear. They won't tell us what we might want to hear. So I think that is an important consideration in choosing them. So that's our ask, and with that, I thank you, and I have a letter for the mayor for that explicitly states what our ask is. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. At this point in time, would councilors have any comments or questions of Celeste on the presentation of project? Councilor Johnson?
I just have one quick question. The distribution of the survey, do you have it broken down as to what parts of the county were actually surveyed or what responses you got in particular for mining?
Of course. No, that was something we were remiss. We did not ask where people lived. We did go out to North Queens. We did go out with flyers and distributed those in public places, but we don't know when they came in, we don't know where they came from. That we should have done that.
Councilor Kelly?
Great, thanks, Celeste. I just wanted to know where you're at in the process right now. Has there been a budget done for this? Like,
not
at
in
all?
Detail.
There's been
no
numbers done.
Not
for
in
this?
Detail. No.
Okay.
That's why we need. Because I mean, these people that have presented to us gave us ideas of what the budgets would be, but you don't know who you're going to go with, and things like that. But we know.
Okay.
There isn't.
So the last time that I heard anything about the pool was with Richard McClellan, and I thought that you guys were moving forward with putting together. Or was this it? This is where.
This is
to.
What we're. We, when we heard from the people presenting, we appreciated how much has to go into it, particularly with the operating cost.
Right.
And so, and also making decisions about how deep should the pool be, how many lanes should there be, those kinds of things. And so Bill and Kathy would do things like look at the demographics and say, so the society wants 6 lanes because we want to be able to hold meets and things
right.
like that. They might come back and say, you can't afford 6 lanes and your population will not support 6 lanes, so we're going to recommend 4 lanes. I hope they don't say that, but they might. And in terms of, is there going to be a diving board? If there's a diving board, you've got to have a deeper pool. If you have a deeper pool, you have a bigger volume of water. You got to heat that volume of water, et cetera. So there are all these considerations that they can take into account in putting forth a proposal that we don't have the expertise to do.
So would they take into account that, you know, obviously one of the things that... would they take into account, one of the things we'd like to do here in Queens, like with our Queens Place Amira Center and with anything else, our skate park and that we build, I mean, there's always that, you know, is it going to bring economic development
right.
to the area? Is it going to bring an economic impact, right?
Right?
So it'd be great, you know, if that would be a consideration if you were able to go ahead with these people to say that, you know, you should have a pool that's the size that you could bring in these
right.
major events,
right.
because then that's
right.
you know, if that offsets anyway, you
yes.
know, if it's a consideration to say
right.
what we're giving up and what
sure.
we're not, it'd be nice to know that yeah, we gave it up because it wasn't a huge thing. I mean, maybe, you know, huge swimming events or diving events or whatever would never come here anyway. I don't know that
yeah.
sort of thing. But it's
well,
nice to
when
have that consideration.
When we met with them, we discussed that idea that holding meet. So and meets bring in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you have the spinoff mm-hmm. that goes into the community when large, as you know, from hockey games or curling
yeah.
championships and things like that, you get people coming in. The thing with the meet at a pool is you need to have space for people to sit and watch it. And so that, you know, that could
right.
be incorporated in their creative ways to do that. But that's something to consider. And he was suggesting, in my heart of hearts, would love a 6-lane pool. So, but he was arguing that you could have fun meets and have, like, maybe invite one team to come or two teams to come and do a fun meet. But of course, a full 6-lane pool is going to have official meets, and you can have, you know, age group, high school, masters, you know, different ages doing swim meets. There are different swim groups that have meets. So. Yes, that economic development. The other thing, though, in terms of just the pool, is that people have told me, like Debbie Doucette from the hospital, and she said this at the public meeting, that when she's hiring nurses to come here, they'll ask, what are the facilities in the community? They ask the same thing in Bridgewater, and they will go to Bridgewater sometimes exactly because they want their kids in swimming lessons without having to drive all the way. So it's...
Can I ask one more? Your conversation with Bernadette Jordan, did anything come out of that? What was her take on this? Or
she was supportive. She was supportive, but she said you need a plan.
Yeah.
She was in principle supportive, but until she saw something, it needs to be green. So that, I mean, all the people talked about that. You can't possibly get funding from them if it's not a green building. And so she was very supportive, but you know, she wasn't going to commit herself until she saw something coming forward.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Frehley?
I wanted to back up just a little bit. So all the work that's been done previously for your first few presentations, is that kind of gone away, or is that incorporated in what you're doing with, you know, the dome and all the work that was done on that?
Yeah, no, the dome, so we've put the dome aside
yes.
for principally because the federal government probably would not fund it.
Okay.
So, because they want something green, and
right.
a dome isn't necessarily green, and so that is the major reason that was put to the side. Okay.
Thank you.
So we can get funding for a solid structure.
Yeah.
Councilor Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I found a site that Mr. Oliver, no, Burke, Burke and Oliver Consultants, and it's called Planning Our Aquatic Facility, and I suggest that, I'm gonna send this to everybody, I just was Googling him while you were talking.
Right.
And it explains all about recreation pools or municipal pools versus leisure pools and competition type pools.
Right.
And it's just amazing what he says, and that's almost exactly what you're telling us.
Right.
It would be information.
Yes.
And that's something that we really have to look at, because we're a small community. You know, if you go to a competition pool, you have to make sure that we can bring in those competitions, because there's a lot of competition out there for these types of events.
Yes, yes.
So if we spend a lot of money on those types of pools, then it's really, in my opinion, it could be wasted money. But if you want a community pool attached to your fitness center in your arena, then that might be where these consultants will find their findings. Really, what do we want in the community first?
Right, right. So I think, you know, I think they can, as I said before, they take into account the demographics and the budget. I mean, they take those things into account. They don't just, the people we heard from were showing us beautiful pools and telling us the wonders of the materials that they were using and the fun things they could add to it, which was all very exciting. But in fact, when push comes to shove, you've got to know, are people going to use it? And so that's why they're going to incorporate that. I think you can have, you know, you could have four lanes and it still be a recreational pool, but you still have the four, you have the standard 25 meter length and stuff. But I mean, they may decide that, yeah, you could do six lanes, but it wouldn't be deep. You wouldn't have a diving board, depending on, and they have the survey numbers. They have the actual raw data from the survey, so that they can do that. So, and I think we're incredibly lucky that these people retired to this area, because they, you know, they've lived in urban centers and been doing stuff in Montreal and I think Vancouver, I'm not sure, yes. And so that they landed here, I mean, you would have trouble finding, if you just put out a call for people with expertise in pool planning, you would be hard pressed to find anybody better than they are. And they happen to be here.
And they take a practical approach.
Yes. Because I said they've run pools as well as designed and built them, so they know what the glitches are in the day-to-day working.
Councillor Johnson?
Yeah, I've got a question, but I think it's more of Jennifer's, one of the many hats she wears. I truly don't understand part of the municipal funding around the retirement of past debt. And the other piece is, as I've heard, that the region is going to take ownership for soliciting federal and provincial funding. You know, what is the expectation of the region as far as ownership goes in this? There was a couple questions for me that need a clarification.
So, as far as the debt retirement, and I know that's been thrown around a few times, yes, we did have debt retirement this past year. It wasn't in relation to recreation or Queen's Place. It was strictly in relation to our sewer and landfill, and I believe Jack kind of asked that question a little bit when we were going through our budget presentation back in April. That money is retired. It is part of a reconciliation, as we said before, for our landfill reserve. So it was landfill reserve and sewer reserve. It was a reserve transfer, and it was never any debt repayment that pertained to the tax rate. So going forward, we have capacity for debt, yes. It would be tax rate debt if we did take it on, unless, and I hate to say this out loud, but unless we so choose to use some of that landfill reconciliation, where that is where the debt was retired from, going forward, then that would be the only piece that wouldn't be tax rated. But I know previous CAO did kind of hang his hat on that a bit, on that debt retirement. But as I tried to clarify with him before, it's not, it would be tax rate if it was debt required for the pool. It wouldn't be tax rate as it was retired from landfill reserve and sewer reserve transfers. So a little bit of clarification there. We do intend to assist the Aquatic Society. Obviously, you have to have municipal support, any provincial or federal funding applications that you go forward with. and that's fine, we intend to assist them with that. Technically, there is no Region of Queens pool project at the moment until such time as council so chooses to add it to our capital plan. And that was part of my conversation with Bill and Deborah and Celeste prior to. We need to clarify exactly where everything is at right now. The numbers are slightly different than those which the public was aware of prior to this. We know how that catches you up, as we've discovered over the last few years, and the public's perception of Queen's Place's deficit, where that's at and where we thought it would be. So we want to be very clear, very concise with the information that we have. That is why it is crucial, I agree, that we use Bill and Kathy for this design plan and for some further costing on operations. These are numbers that are very important and need to be clarified so that council are able to make an informed decision about whether the Region of Queens goes forward with the pool project or not.
Councillor Fancy?
I actually liked what you said there. That was really, really quite good, because it brought some clarification to a few different things. Because I think one thing that is, even if we're going forward looking at a pool project, it has to be the region in immediately, so to speak. Because to look at, say, I mean, look, I'm saying in the sense even of looking at a presentation of what it would cost and then get someone to look at the, like these people are going to do, is because if we say we're going to go with six lanes, you're going to go with the diving, you're going to go with four lanes, or and then looking at the future of the pools, we know lose money. So that's going to have to be all incorporated into what you're going to be looking at as a whole, because again, look, six lanes use twice as much water, half again as much water as a four lane, because you got to heat that water. That's a cost. Deeper for diving is more water. It's a cost. So when you're looking at it as a whole, does that then in turn take back the money that you gain by having events and things, you know, how does it offset? And then in the future, when everything is all done and there's a bill that's going to be there, steady, how much that's going to be added to the bill, so how do you in turn deal with that bill? And then again, also too, what Jennifer said, if we take money out of the landfill, does that mean that eventually when we go to do a landfill that we're going to have to borrow money to put back there, or do we have that as a separate that we could be able to get through that? These are all questions that need to be
some budget numbers answered. I will need to look carefully at prior to that discussion.
Yes.
And I'm not saying no, we're not doing pool. I'm saying we just need all the information,
right, yeah.
And then council can make an informed decision going forward.
Any other councillor? Councillor Kelly?
So would this couple at the end of their report recommend a pool designer or recommend how we should go about doing this or recommend who would be best
they wouldn't recommend who they would recommend what component should go
right.
into a pool
right.
and what the approximate cost of what that should be. I mean they won't go out and do either looking at all the companies, but they are going to look, they're going to gather information from other recently built pools that have certain things, certain features, and they'll find out what those costs were and see. That's one of the ways they'll get their estimate. And communities of this size.
But based on what they're recommending would be best suited for our area, would they not also be able to recommend the best people that would be in the market for that type of building that type of pool?
I don't think so. Deb, do you think? No. I don't think they would go so far as to recommend a particular company. I think once they say these are the features, this is what the project should look like, this
right.
is the definition of the project,
right.
then if it's approved, then the region goes out and says, who is ready to build this for us, this project, at this cost,
Right. Two more short ones. So we, there's it's confirmed the $18,000 is available to go towards this this report?
From the province, my understanding is that they have monies to particularly to look into recreation and sport and to do planning for recreation and sport,
okay.
And that that is within the in the range of what they would fund.
Okay. Yeah. And nothing's been applied for yet. Oh, that's through the region.
It has to be applied for from the region.
Okay.
Like we can't, so it's just a, I think Councillor Johnson was asking, I think we aren't in a position to apply directly to the government. We can work, of course, with it and have some of the things, but we officially can't be the ones. And the pool belongs to the, if it happens, when the pool happens, it belongs to the region.
And in the whole scheme of things, when you started this project and everything, and where you stand now, what is the overall view of a timeline from the Aquatic Society?
The timeline is that if Bill and Kathy are approved to do it, they anticipate that they would have a report to council by the end of February. And that's perfect because that's the around about the time that the federal government should be announcing its money for sport and recreation in rural areas. And so they would, then there would be something to go forward with. In the meantime, I guess the region would have to have, you would want to have public input into
yeah.
that kind of thing. So I, in my optimistic view, I would think you could be starting construction by the summer.
Oh my, okay. So that was, I was wondering,
if things are approved, as soon as there's an approval, once their report comes in, at whenever there's an approval from council that we're going forward, then the fundraising group in our committee is gonna, we have a list, we have names, we have, like, we have our, we're ready to go. As soon as it's approved, we have the design, we have what the folder's gonna look like when we go out soliciting funds. We've been sort of chomping at the bit, ready to go raise funds for a while, and so, but we can't do it until it's approved that it, the council wants to, region wants to go forward with it.
So just to understand then, so you think that, so you'll start going fundraising, but what's your timeline on that? Like, what's the timeline for someone to actually jump in? Like on your wish list, to say, is it someone's going to be jumping in a pool like in 3 years?
Oh
years?
No,
like
less than that.
Okay.
Less
okay.
than that.
Right. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Well, I think we've worked on this, or you've worked on this project beginning what, 2 years ago now. Maybe
about three,
than that,
I think.
Two,
yeah.
Three,
yeah. Yeah.
So I think basically we know where we want to go now. We're down to the so-called nitty gritty. Let's get this project started with the different phases that it takes. And your responsibility as far as the committee or the society, what will your role be once we do our part? Fundraising?
Oh, for sure, fundraising.
That's your primary role.
Primarily it would be fundraising. We had talked quite some time ago about how what would our role be in the future, and I would like to think that the society could act as like a board, advisory board or something like that, and fundraise.
Typical friends of kind.
Right.
Of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're the third, at least the third committee, to be working on getting
yeah.
a pool.
Yeah.
So
let's get something done.
Yes.
Thank you very much for all your dedication and
okay.
your committee's work
yeah.
on this. Positive.
Councilor Johnson?
My last question, I promise. The Burke Oliver scope of work, do you see them giving a very detailed business case behind the end design, like operating costs going forward, project profit
yes.
loss each
yes.
year? That's part of their scope of
yes.
work, is it?
Yes. Yes.
Any other councilor have a question or comment today? Thank you, Celeste, on behalf of the Queens Community Aquatic Society. Very interesting presentation. And from your ask, I see that you're looking for $6,000 from the Region of Queens towards
yes.
a $24,000
yes.
consulting report by Bill Burke and Kathy Oliver.
Right.
We will pass that request to staff for a recommendation at a hopefully soon to come council meeting.
Thank you.
Thank,
thank
you
very
much.
Much.
And appreciate the work of yourself and your volunteers on the committee.
Thank you.
research work on their properties, and that's all good information.
Yeah, you're right. Now, just like you want to have you items, I don't think, with respect to the previous presentation, I read the presentation here and listened to it here today, and the recent construction for the dome was $2 million. Then you people, the region, I guess, hired architect, Architecture 49, to do your own study and comparison. How much did that cost us, Mr. Mayor, do you remember?
I would ask Jennifer, can you remember the cost of that consulting study for Architect 49?
$18,000.
Pardon?
$18,000.
$18,000, yeah, I heard $25,000, I didn't know. Anyway, so we did that, and the CAO, Ron Richard, made his presentation on January 26, 2016, and provided the information with respect to the comparisons and so on. And for a fixed structure, it would be $5,785,100 was the quote that he made there. And the estimated quote that they mentioned here today, and I realize that's a ballpark figure, would say 8 to 10 million. Well, we've gone from 200,000 to 8 to 10 million, and we haven't even got the thing finally designed. I'm not against having a pool and so on at all. In a public meeting, there was 80 people there. There's over 10,000 people in the county, so it wasn't too many turned up, but apparently the ones that wanted it were there. There were 78 of the 80 that wanted it. That was fine. They did a also a survey, as she indicated there, of about 1,000 people, so that'd be about 10% of the population of the region of Queens. And the interesting thing that I found there in the survey is that they say over three quarters want to see the pool, but they don't want to pay for it. And that's what she mentioned there this morning. So is it they don't want to pay to use it, or they don't want to pay to have it built? You know, that sort of, you know, do they want the pool or don't they? If you want something, you got to pay for it. You want to go buy a new car, you got to pay for it, right? If you want a pool, you're going to have somebody's going to have to pay. And also pay to use it. The other thing is, the Queens Place, as we know, has a roughly a $600,000 operating deficit each year. And I understand to operate a pool, and I don't know anything about them, but they say that to operate a pool is more expensive than operating a lake and gym facility and so on. So I think there's a lot of questions there, and a lot of things that we're going to have to look at before you go ahead to put the seal of approval on it. And I'm not saying that I'm not down with the pool. That's the old story. If I can afford to do it.
Yes, Leon, and the Queens Community Aquatic Society is doing the research to indicate the actual close figures to a pool. Anything in the past is based on a different facility, a rubber roof pool, which the federal government is reluctant to fund at cost share. So I think that the pool committee is actually doing a good job researching the issues that need to be researched, and it will come back before council and the public at a later date before any decisions are made.
Yeah, the thing is, I thought the Architecture 49 would be hired, and the indication paid them $18,000, and that seemed to be quite a detailed report, and it also made the comparison, but also give the information on the fixed structure, which was recommended by them at that time. And I can't see that we have to go and pay another $18,000 or $20,000 if we had to come up with the same thing.
I'd let Jennifer comment on that, if you would.
Pardon?
Actually, the $18,000 we gave to Architect 49 was strictly to make a comparison for us, the fixed structure versus the dome structure, and the cost-benefit analysis going forward. You have less maintenance costs, less ongoing utility costs with the closed-in structure versus the dome structure. So really, we just used them to make that comparison for us up front on the dome. Going forward now with Phil and Kathy, their information is going to be based, it's going to give us a design, it's going to give us a plan, which we need in detail to go forward through the provincial and federal funding applications. And it's going to be what this community can afford design-wise as far as the extra amenities that are within the structure, and then ongoing operations costs.
I thought that Architects 49 would have had to have a lot of that information in order to make the comparison.
They made some estimates.
Otherwise, how could they compare?
They made some estimates, but it wouldn't have been based strictly on 4-lane or 6-lane or 12-lane or 20-lane. It was basically just to decide for us the difference between the dome and the pool structure.
Okay, yeah,
That will be the challenge of the pool committee.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've taken up my 5 minutes, you may be more.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, and again, I want to stress that I'm not against the pool. I just, you know, want to make sure that, you know, it can be paid for. And the other concern I have is the residents over in North Queens who would have access to the facility. I don't see them being able to come in and do too many of those people using it. So, you know, I don't know how much they're going to be for the repair.
That will be a decision of each resident in Queens and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lena. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Thank you very much. We will move on now to 4.0, corporate services. Under 4.1, we have business retention and expansion program, Duran. Richard Lane, would you like to come forward to the presentation desk?
So I was asked to prepare a short information paper for you, just on as a backgrounder to a project which we would be ready to move on, which is to do with business retention and expansion, always also known as BRE. This project would be participating in a BRE program coordinated by the South Shore REN. And which has representation from most of the municipal units within the REN area. So BRE defined, I'll just run through the paper quickly, defined as the activity of engaging with local businesses to help them improve, expand, or manage the decline of their operations. So it also brings in things like succession planning. BRE is about removing the barriers to growth. It aims to strengthen a community's ability to attract, grow, and keep business. So also within that, although it talks about retention and expansion, it also speaks to attraction of new business, because if you understand the barriers to growth, you also potentially understand the barriers to new businesses coming and starting. So it's really about the entire life cycle. It works together very much with business attraction, but works on the principle that it's generally easier to work with existing business than it is to attract new. You know, in marketing, they always talk about the fact that it's a lot cheaper to attract to keep existing clients than it is to attract new ones. So the core activity of a BRE program is business visitation, and. So by visiting the businesses, listening to the issues that they're facing, gives us the opportunity to respond to those issues, but also more widely than that, also it gives us a view of any trends or particular, you know, and directions, problems that are not so much company specific, but company common. So. You know, there are two aspects there. If you visit a business and you hear problems that that particular business is having, you can potentially assist in some fashion with that, and I'll come on to that. But generally, if there are bigger issues and things that are more common between businesses, then the action of recording your findings and comparing that in the application that we're using here, the customer relationship management tool, allows you to see those trends and also address larger issues on a regional or provincial level. So the process itself, generally speaking, when you visit a business, you go in with a structure to your questions. So there is a questionnaire, which is known as a diagnostic tool. But generally speaking, that's a very long document, which would be very onerous to go through. You know, that would potentially be a 1 to 2 hour visit with a business, which, you know, anybody who's been in business would know that could get old very quickly. So the questionnaire is really to guide the conversation. Much of it can be filled in ahead of time by doing some research before you ever set foot through the door of the business. And then the responses are, as I say, are recorded in the CRM software application, which in this case is, again, Executive Pulse, which is a provincial-wide tool which is available to right the way across the province. Responses are strictly confidential, obviously. Businesses are asked to sign an informed consent agreement, and also anybody who's carrying out the business visits are required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So businesses should certainly be confident in the knowledge that any information that's passed between and during those business visits is on an entirely confidential basis. The information that's recorded in Executive Pulse is not generally, it's not available to other viewers on that kind of detailed basis. All that other people get to see is the trends or the general sort of information. So we've been asked to participate in the South Shore BREE committee, first of all. The structure of this form of BREE visit, and there are slightly different models out there of BREE programs, but this one has what's known as a management team, which design the program. They find the players for the various parts of the program and bring those together. And that's what this BREE committee would do first of all. I think there's also a piece within there to talk about community engagement and business engagement. So actually going out and advertising the advantage of a BREE program and getting businesses interested in the process. I think that's something that committee would need to be doing. Within there, the operations team is made up of what they call account executives who, and it's their responsibility to go out and actually carry out the business visits and do the recording. They're also, if there are issues which are identified, the process of addressing those is not on the person carrying out the business visit. They would refer to what's known as an action team. And the action team is made up of external organizations who can come in with specific expertise. So the account executive would make a referral to the action team for specific expertise and assistance. There is also then what they call a response team. The response team is really more, it's an ad hoc group which would be formed to address particular situations, particularly if this is something other than sort of day-to-day operation within a business. If we became aware of an impending closure of a business or actually the opposite of that, if we became aware of an imminent major startup which it would be useful to bring in other agencies to assist that process, either in the decline or the growth. So that ability is there. The action team at the moment hasn't been officially formed, but I did attend a meeting of stakeholder groups in Mahone Bay a couple of weeks ago. And there were upwards of 35 different agencies and organizations at that meeting. And what became very clear is that there is a wealth of information that businesses can tap into. Many businesses don't know that facility is there, you know, things like training through labor and advanced education or routes to finance. You know, there were several agencies at that meeting who said, you know, we've got money, we've got finance. So I think the BREE program is one way that we can assist businesses in making sure that they are aware of these agencies to address particular issues that they have. So in terms of involvement in the process, in addition to the BREE committee, which is seen as a pretty minimal amount of time and effort in that. There's only been one meeting so far, and they anticipate, you know, probably a few meetings of around about an hour. What would be more at stake is the amount of time that we would commit to actually carrying out those business visits. And there's a few different ways that we could do that. So the REN is actually anticipating hiring a couple of account executives to carry out some business visits, particularly for municipal units who might not have the capacity in-house to carry them out. But there is that option to make a request that potentially that they carried out our business visits. Now, there are some pros and cons to both of those approaches. But I think, fundamentally, carrying out the business visits in-house does give a level of understanding of our business community, which would be valuable. So I've carried through the if issues are identified and the crisis circumstances where a referral to an action team might not be sufficient. I mentioned the idea of what they call red flags or green flag situations. The amount of time commitment for business visits. So there are a couple of different ways of structuring a BREE program. One might be that you pick a particular business sector, and so if we picked tourism operators or manufacturing or retail, it would give us a smaller sample size to go at, so there's sort of potentially less time commitment, and we can compare then issues that are facing retail operators in Queen's County versus Lunenburg County versus on a provincial level. So there's an advantage to that stratified approach, or we can pick a much more random approach. So we can say, right, we're going to pick 10 businesses independent of the business sector that they're in. We're going to carry out those business visits over a period of 6 months or whatever. And by doing so, we expose ourselves to a wider range of potential issues. So there is an advantage to that approach also. I think doing it that way gives us a company-specific issue advantage, and also a broader range to company common issues. So I think there are definitely advantages to carrying out that way. The other thing that I'll just mention is that there are other BREE models. Jill and I had actually done a small amount of training under the BREI model, which is the Business Retention Expansion International. It's an organization that exists to carry out training coordination of BREE programs. They have a slightly different model of operation where they use volunteers to go and visit as many businesses as possible in a very short time span. It's sort of a blitz approach. This approach is much more about ongoing relationship building. So understanding the business community and having repeat visits over a period of time to really get familiar with the issues that exist there. I'll leave it there and be available for questions.
Thank you, Richard. Any questions or comments of councillors on this? Councillor Croix?
Thanks for the report, Richard. I'm a little confused on how it works, so I just want to throw some examples out there. So I've been working with Jonathan Bauer at West End Grocery. So if he came in, if we identified him as one of the potential applicants for this, what would the steps be for someone like Jonathan, who is at deciding what to do with his business, and where how would it work from there?
Yeah. So the first question, the first point would be to get those signatures on, so that so that he would be happy, understanding, giving informed consent as to what the process is going to be.
Right.
The second would be to, for whoever was going to carry out the business visit, to do the background research, you know, be to go into that meeting well informed about what the business was, the size and shape of it, who was involved.
And this could be you or someone from the committee?
It wouldn't be necessarily from the committee. It would be part of, so the committee is really the management team, whereas the person carrying out the business is the operations team. That potentially could be me or one of the other account executives. Again, that depends how the thing ends up structured. So that person would do the research, they would make an appointment, they would go and sit down with the business owner, and using the diagnostic tool, not sitting with a 300 question questionnaire and start at question one and go to the end, but having understood and learned the sort of themes of the questionnaire, you would just have a conversation guided by that questionnaire about what the issues of business development for that person are. You would come away with responses to that. There would be an entry made into Executive Pulse. If there are specific issues that are specific to that business that can be easily resolved, either by the account executive or by referring on to the action team, which would be more common, that's what you would do. So if, for example, that business owner came along and said, well, one of the things that's really holding me back is my ability to understand social media marketing, for example. Then we could make a referral to somebody on the action team who has specific information about how to help that. So it might be Labour and Advanced Education, it might be the CBDC, who have grants available to pay marketing consultants to go in and, or it might be an issue to do with finding staff. So again, you know, there are agencies who we can refer to come in and say, okay, we can actually help here. Some of the issues that the business owner might have are, on the face of it, too big. And this is one of the downsides of a revisit, is that, and I've got prior experience to this from, Bree has been attempted in this area before, and I was actually on the other side as a business owner of this process once before. So one of the downsides is that a lot of the issues that might be brought up are actually, on the face of it, too big to deal with. And if the business doesn't understand or see some value in taking part in the process, then it's just, you know, they come away from it thinking, well, that was a waste of time, and you know, it's just an exercise in somebody gainful employment. So then, to come back to that process, so once you have that entry in Executive Pulse and you've made any referrals that can be made, you also have that business information that can be compared with like businesses within the region or within the province. And there's also a follow-up and continuing relationship to be done there. So it isn't a one-shot deal, it isn't going in, you know, is everything good? Okay, that's fine, you know, never visit again. You know, there is a process to go back and visit.
So my concern is, you know, if Jonathan walked through the door, the challenge has always been to get the different departments on board. So if he went through the brief process, how do the other departments, such as planning and just anyone that should be involved in that, how do they get to know about this? Like, is this going to improve the communications between departments?
There is that potential here, yeah, because action teams wouldn't just be formed. The action team members aren't just about external organizations.
Right.
So, you know, if you have an issue which comes out from the business, which is to do with another department within your own organization, then they're effectively part of that action team and can be made a referral to. So, yeah, absolutely.
I have more, but you can come back.
Councillor Benson?
Yeah, Richard, always trying to understand these things in the first place. But, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, the whole idea is to try to keep business here. Rather than try to bring new business in.
Mm.
The one place that I think of in particular is the New Seal Market. mm-hmm. but knows it's not operating at this particular time. I don't know where they're headed with this. But with the brief, do we look at them and try to, do we approach them, or do they approach you for what goes on? Because I know they've looked at other places to relocate to, and I just hate to think that we miss opportunities of trying to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's nothing can be done, but
mm-hmm.
to say that, you know, that we've gone that.
Yeah, so that process of either self-referral or going out is always, it's not something that has to be formalized within a BREE program. It could happen independent of any BREE program. The advantage of a BREE program is that it gives you the ability to compare across, you know, a larger area and address things that are company common. But in that particular case, the process of how, so either situation could happen. They could either ask for assistance, or the BREE program could offer assistance. And so the process of how we pick businesses to visit is kind of up to us. You know, we don't have to follow any particular model. So, so if we were to take that random approach, so we're not looking at particular sectors, then we could say, right, okay, this is one business that we think we could potentially help with, so it's on the list of however many we're going to pick in a given time span. The I guess one of the problems here is that the number of businesses that you choose to visit, you've got to be very cognizant of the fact that the time commitment that it takes, not just to do the business visit, but to follow up, you know, which is really, that's the important part of this. You know, if we're going to do this, we have to be seen to be following up and making progress on it. So,
Councillor Kelly.
Okay, so just carrying on that thought, then initially the process would be to get the communication out to all businesses and see who replies and who is interested, and then try to filter down from there how many you can take on, and then how you'll build it here, whether it's in-house or whether you use the people that the REN might put forward for this, the account managers or whatever they would be.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think certainly the making businesses aware that this process is going to be happening is very important. For sure, we could do that. You know, we could effectively make an invite and then see what kind of response came back.
So what someone would facilitate at the local level, and then there'd be some like you or whoever would come in from the REN. And the REN's part in this is facilitating on the regional level?
The BREE committee, which is sort of under the umbrella of the REN, so they would have presence on that committee, and they're really there just as an overseer. So, if, for example, the action team, if there are agencies that need to be approached to say, can you be part of this? Can you put a representative forward? Then the REN has that sort of umbrella role to coordinate things. It would be useful for anyone taking part in this process to pick the same data set process. So if we decided to focus on one business sector, but half of the other municipal units decided to do it on a random basis, then we've lost some advantage. What would be ideal would be that as a REN umbrella group committee, we pick one of those approaches and then we carry that out the same way across the municipal units. That way we've got data that we can compare like with like.
Which would come first, the picking of the process or seeing who came in with the businesses and then deciding who you're best going to...
I think picking the process would probably come first.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I really don't... I want to go right back to the REN because I still don't understand what they're all about and what they're doing for us. I understand we pay them. Do we pay? We pay money to the REN. How much do we pay to the REN?
Jenny?
$27,000 a year.
$27,000 a year. this isn't costing us anything.
Other than time, staff time.
Time, right, okay. Staff time or whatever. If we had somebody, if we said that we don't have the people to do it, they would send somebody in to do that for us?
Subject to capacity. So I think there's a, you know, there's a few things in there, but theoretically, yes.
Do you think there's an advantage to us doing it ourselves, this type of process? Because you said, you know, this breed's been done before. I mean, we have economic development people, we have social opportunities, we have CBDC, we have South Queens Chamber of Commerce. I mean, we have all of these agencies, you know, working for us now, and here we are visiting again,
mm-hmm.
that we've done it before, and you know, here's our Wren working for us for the $27,000 a year, bringing, you know, facilitating something that's been done before. I mean, do you see this process with Bree different from the last time?
The process isn't the same, or the process is the same. The outcome may well be different. A Bree program. is only successful if it's gone into with the right spirit,
yeah.
I guess.
And monitored, right?
Yeah.
Do you think this is robust enough to carry forward? Because, you know, we're at this point now where, you know, anything that can help our business community, I think, is wonderful. And if we're, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're looking at now. We want to help them, and we, you know, let's do something that's robust enough to actually add value and help. You know,
yeah, and I think that's one of the advantages of doing this in-house, actually, because what you get then is somebody who is invested in the process and is willing to go and visit businesses and do it properly.
Right.
You know, what you don't want is and you know, perhaps this is what's happened in the past slightly, where people have gone in and it's really just a process of checking boxes and answering questions, getting it plugged in. You've got a quota of businesses that you've got to fulfill in a given time span. And so the level of investment or the level of commitment to making the process work, I would like to think would be greater if it's carried out in-house.
Do you think the one major advantage for doing it through the Wren is that they have this action team which has solicited, and they do have, like, what would you call it, their experts that would come in and do that? But is that not something that we could do ourselves as well?
So I think the great advantage of doing this under the Wren, of being part of the Wren-led program rather than doing it independently, is that it does give us that regional information base. So by sharing information, and what I mean by that isn't company-specific information, but the issues that are highlighted for a retail operation elsewhere along the South Shore is gonna feed into our business intelligence. So I think that there is a great advantage in doing this as under the Wren umbrella rather than trying to do it independently.
And as well, we want to get our money back.
I have others, so I'll come back to you if I could.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Richard, this is really good information, and as you indicated in your other, from the other side, you were one of the businesses that got the information and support from the Regional Development Authority then, and I was also at Beano's Print, and they had a business retention expansion program, and they had someone come into my office, sit down with me and go over, just kind of ask me questions, how's your business, where's your thoughts, you have enough time to work on it, you're working in it all the time, we can help you with your business outside the realms of the day-to-day 9-to-5 work that you do in your business. I think here now, I think Bree is a good program. I feel the model that they are proposing works, and I googled one in Ontario. They use exactly the same model, and it's been successful for their small businesses in the little rural communities that they presented it to. The key, I think, is the person that you have going into these businesses. They have to be sincere.
Yep.
They have to know knowledge of the community. They have to know the struggles that small business have.
Yep.
They have to know all the tools that are available to help these businesses. So it has to be somebody that's well educated in that, and that there's a comfort level between that person and the business operator.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely key.
Absolutely necessary. And whether we get somebody, I think doing it, I don't know quite what we mean by doing it in-house versus Ren doing it, but would that mean like we manage it all here using the tools that they give us, and we can go back to them and get the follow-ups on all these other resources that they have?
I think this is really coming down to whether we carry out the business visits, or whether we give that responsibility over to somebody else.
Well, I strongly feel we carry out the business visits.
Sure.
And I don't know whether we have the capacity here right now to do it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get our economic development person on site and hired and that sort of thing, that it probably will kind of work its way around between that department and, of course, with your influence and your knowledge. So I feel in-house is crucial for us in Queens. And we have to have the connection between other business organizations. The Chamber of Commerce probably are looking for projects similar to this,
mm-hmm.
that they might want to have something so that their members know they're doing something for the business community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important too. But the key is who you get to do the job and the comfort level that they have with the business.
Yeah, and I think to delve into issues which are more than just superficial requires a level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the questions is, you know, is a business more likely to have that level of trust in somebody who is willing to engage in a longer term relationship than somebody who is contracted to come in and, yeah.
And whether you're a small business or you're a big corporation, all the headings on every business is the same: staffing, finances, hours of operation, you know, all this stuff, marketing. Those are all components of any type, size of business.
Yeah.
So, and these are the things that you have to tailor down to,
yeah.
How they can get information and how they can expand, or if they want to grow within, you know, and maybe expansion isn't the thing for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have to kind of work with what they have, get that up and running to its full capacity, and then think. But sometimes businesses think expansion is better because then there's more out there to, you know,
mm-hmm.
for revenue and sales and that sort of thing. But that really isn't always
the case. Yeah, absolutely.
Councillor Johnson.
Well, I just like to say, Richard, finally, from my perspective, I heard two things here from you today: a very clear distinction between business retention and attraction. And the other part is that this screams of what I've been talking about here for the last year, is a customer service ethic, and the fact that we are now going to be an account manager, and, you know, like key account management and stuff like that. And when something like this is really wanted, one of the biggest cautions that I put out there is the fact that we can oversell
yep.
services that we don't have control of, and we can oversell expectations of the end user.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the idea of the coordinated approach of all these other agencies, from tourism to Soshore Opportunities,
mm-hmm.
and getting that all under one roof. And I like Deputy Mayor McLeod's idea of doing it in-house, whatever the resource takes to do it, and have that ownership here, because your inputs can come from the bottom up through something as simple as a building permit to generation of ideas through Council Felix, our own constituents who bring that forward. I really applaud that in making sure that we can manage those expectations and have the staff to do it and oversee it.
Yeah, I think managing the expectations is a tricky one, because as I say, some of the issues which are identified through a BRE program appear on the face of it to be too big to address. So, you know, if those are problems of, I just don't have a market to sell my product, or I can't get the specialist workforce to come in and do what I need. But what we need to communicate is the fact that although those might not be quick fixes, the advantage of feeding into something a provincial level executive pulse is that those lessons or those issues that are being identified, especially the trends, then potentially go on to feed provincial policy, in terms of immigration or what's offered at community colleges or, you know, these sorts of decisions. Yeah, and as long as we communicate back to the businesses that, you know, that there is that process in place, that although on the face of it it's not something that we can address, you know, next week, but at least it's being recorded, and somebody's keeping an eye on the fact that this is a trend.
Councillor Fancy?
We have anything before.
Any councillor that has not spoken at this point? I'm going to go back to Councillor Fraley.
Richard, I just had a question about if we went with the Wren model. You know, there's always the problem of Queens versus Liverpool, and, you know, we're always here and Lunenburg's here. How do we control that it's not focused on Lunenburg County? And it's, is there any way to do that?
So there would be that comes down to the sample of the sample size of your data set. So the BREE committee, if we were setting data set levels within that committee environment, then we can address things like that to make sure that we're getting a representative sample from the entire Wren area. Yeah.
So I guess my next question is, what's the next step for this?
So the BREE committee is still meeting. They're still they're looking at the moment for input from the municipal units as to whether they would prefer to look at this from a stratified sample or from a random data set sample approach. My opinion is that we should probably go for a random data set rather than picking a particular sector. And so once that decision is made, the committee is also approaching those action team members, and that meeting in Mahone Bay was really a precursor to that. So that's in process. And so the next step, I think, would probably be to do a bit of a trial run. So pick a business and approach them and ask if they would be interested, and do a business visit, and just start to work on refining the actual.
Are we talking
process.
Weeks or months? Or
there's no reason why it shouldn't be weeks or less. Yeah.
Okay. So if I have someone like Jonathan Bauer who is interested in doing that, I would at this point just send them to you, and then.
Yeah, I mean, so if there's something that I can assist there with.
Yeah.
Then I could be doing that anyway,
okay.
You know, subject to workload and so on. But we don't need to wait for this to attract, you know, to address particular business issues if they're there, and if it's something that we, you know, that we can help with.
Okay.
Councillor Kelly.
No, I was done.
Okay.
Before, yeah.
Deputy Mayor.
Looking at the BREE structure and the BREE program, it really isn't any different than our departments doing the same thing as part of their role. And, you know, I mean, really, when you get down to it, we had economic development and tourism and, you know, the whole components of what economic development means to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of just going out and discovering what businesses we do have in our community that are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people don't want to say, I'm having a difficult time. You
mm-hmm.
know? They'll kind of say, yeah, I'm doing great, but they're hurting inside.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? So this is a good way for them, and I keep saying the word, the comfort level, that they know that they're going to get some results. They're
mm-hmm.
just not being pacified by someone going to their business and saying, yeah, I'm really interested in helping you,
mm-hmm.
but then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
yeah.
so important that
the follow-up
is so important.
Yeah.
Any other councillor would like to speak on this issue? Well, thank you, Richard. Very appreciated for your presentation this morning.
Good stuff, Richard. Thank you.
We will move.